Good morning and welcome to this part of our service. It's been a joy to be here, and I trust this morning that you're experiencing a close walk with God and that you're living in victory and that Christ is real to you this morning. I was encouraged much by our service this morning. We opened up talking about Daniel, and we moved into talking about Moses. So where can we go from here to continue these pillars of faith that we have studied this morning? And the message doesn't necessarily go along that way. It may kind of go the opposite way. Do you think that Daniel ever experienced discouragement or depression or a downtime in his life? Do you think he did? Did Moses ever experience any type of a downturn in his life? I was noticing in the book of Daniel, if you'll turn to Daniel, I had it specified here. Thank you, Ethan. I'm going to need some water. Daniel had his moments. And I think we all have our moments at times. But there was some words. Thank you, Brenda. There was some words that Daniel said about Daniel that I don't know if I've ever read. In Daniel chapter 10 and verse number 2, it says, "In those days I, Daniel, was mourning for 3 weeks." Did you know Daniel said that? I didn't know he said that. I look at Daniel as someone that purposed in his heart and that didn't eat the king's meat and went and prayed and in the lion's den and the picture of the angel holding the mouth shut. That's what I see. It says, "In those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread," in verse 3, "neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled." And then it goes on down through. We're not going to read it all, but we see a change here. And we'll start reading here again in verse 15. "And when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground and I became dumb. And behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spake and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. For how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remaineth no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me." It says in verse 18, "Then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of man, and he strengthened me, and said, O man greatly beloved, fear not, peace be unto thee. Be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, it says, I was strengthened and said, Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Then he said, Knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. When I'm gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come." We're going to stop reading there. The title of the message this morning is, Have I Counted My Blessings? And I'm going to give this as a little bit of a personal time of my life right now of maybe discouragement, of wondering what path to go down on a variety of things. And I believe an antidote for any type of discouragement is to just take a moment and to count our blessings. The text is going to be in Psalm 103, a psalm we know very well. And you can turn that for now. And I want to talk about a man back in 1902 who at that time was a famous evangelist. His name was Gypsy Smith. And this man was visiting a children's home or a children's hospital. I don't know what you would call it. And it says it was a place for children with severe medical problems, maybe. I don't really know all the details there. But this Gypsy Smith was visiting this place, and he relates this story. He said, "At the request of my host, Mr. Penny, I visited the infirmary, whatever that meant back then, I'm not sure. It must have been a hospital. Anyways, most of the patients had been carried out on the lawn to be in the sun. So he says, I spoke a few words to them, and then Mr. Penny said, before Mr. Smith goes, won't you sing something for him? Yes, sir, said a little girl. What will you sing, said he. Count your blessings, was the reply. Gypsy Smith was deeply touched and impressed. And he went on to say, here I was in full health and of many priceless benefits of God, yet I had never counted my blessings. It had never occurred to me to do so. He went on to say, many of us, alas, are ever so happy as when talking about our miseries. All too often in this great land of America, we seem to lapse into a state of ingratitude. Taking for granted all of the blessings and comforts we enjoy, we revert into an attitude of self-satisfaction, expecting that peace and bliss will always follow us. He says, during those times, we should with sincerity of heart count our blessings. There is great spiritual health in taking time to simply count your blessings, to rehearse all that God has done for you. As you do this, he says, your eyes will quickly move from yourself to your Savior. The truth is that none of us deserve any of the blessings God gives us. So today, stop and take time to praise the Lord for all he has done in your life. So in your Zion's praises, 667. We're not going to sing it right now. Laverne can lead it if he would like at the end, but we're going to just, I want you to follow along as we read it. And I don't know where you find yourself this morning in the world of discouragement or depression or trying to find answers to questions that you don't have. But as I read over this psalm, you know, I think all of us could find ourselves somewhere in the verses that we're about to read. It's going to be on our green book, and it's going to be 667. When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you will be singing as the days go by. When you look at others with their land and gold, think that Christ has promised you his wealth untold. Count your many blessings, money cannot buy your reward in heaven, nor your home on high. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged. God is over all. Count your many blessings. Angels will attend, help and comfort give you to your journey's end. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. Count your many blessings. See what God hath done. Count your many blessings. Name them one by one. Count your many blessings. See what God hath done. So maybe an assignment for some of you today, or all of you, or anyone that feels led to, is simply sometime over this next week, get your piece of paper out and your pen and name the blessings one by one. I, along with Gypsy Smith, have never done that. I've reflected on my blessings. I've probably said a few out loud, but I don't know that I've named everyone one by one. And I wonder sometimes if we would take the time to simply reflect on what God has done for us. And if, as you go through this hymn, I believe there's any and all walks of life, stages of life, that it relates to. Let's be a people that counts their many blessings. Psalm 103, beginning in verse 1, it's a psalm of David. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities? Who healeth all thy diseases? Who redeemeth thy life from destruction? Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies? Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles? The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, and his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from him. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his host, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. So David is kind of writing this here, maybe toward, he starts out with a focus on himself personally. And I guess that's my burden this morning for myself, that I would take this to heart personally. David commanded himself, I think we could say that. In verse 1, he says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. And that is a verse you all probably know by heart. But is it alive in your Christian experience? That you have blessed the Lord with everything that's in you? He leads us to verse 2, and he gives us a reason. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Remember back at the first we said that we could sit here all morning and talk about our problems, our struggles, the things that are not going well, whatever it may be. Oftentimes we can find ourselves in a group discussing the things that are not going as well as they should. Shame on us. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Abraham Lincoln said, we have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. Our supreme folly was that we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Unquote. Do you give God the glory and the right place for his blessings to you? Remember the hymn we read over this morning? that wide variety of life that we go through. When upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings. Name them one by one, and it says, and you'll be surprised what the Lord hath done. Let's forget not all his benefits. We are forgetful people. We get caught up in life and we forget. And that was encouragement for me this morning as I studied this psalm again. Okay, verses 3-5. David had a personal testimony this morning. And I believe that you and I have a testimony this morning as well, as you think about the blessing that God has been in your life. All right, verse 3, he forgiveth all thine iniquities. That is something that should just breathe life into us this morning, that God has forgiven all of my iniquities. This second one's a little tougher for me. I was trying to find another meaning here of he healeth all thy diseases. I know some people this morning that maybe even be here that would love some healing for things going on in their life. What does the psalmist mean here? Who healeth all my diseases. In my mind, I guess, goes back about 9 years ago around this time of an anointing service that my wife and I were a part of. And it was for my wife, for our unborn child. And this child was not going to live. And so we requested an anointing. And it was a very special anointing service for my wife and I and for our family. But you know, the baby was not healed, but we were. Is that what the psalmist is telling us this morning? That God is going to heal us, maybe not of our sickness, maybe not of what is going on in our life physically, but of our surrender to it, of our acceptance of it. And July 8 will be 9 years since we put our little son in his little casket. God has healed us. We have been able to celebrate his life every July. Is that what God's talking about? Verse number 4, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Have you been redeemed this morning? Do you know what it means to be redeemed? Is redemption a part of your experience? And if you was to take that word and pull it apart and try to understand it, the depth of redemption is incredible. It's only through the shed blood of Christ that we can be redeemed. And it says here in these simple words, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. It goes on, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. We talk about it at work sometimes, how we're not quite as young as we used to be. We don't get around quite like we used to be. Last Saturday at our family reunion, there was some softball, and I was made aware very vividly of multiple pulled muscles as I tried to be a little younger. But if we go to our Christian experience, there is a renewing. There is a renewing of our youth that words fail to describe. I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. Be renewed in our Christian experience and what God has done for us. Okay, verses number 6 through 10 here of Psalm 103. David was thankful for a just God. And I guess this morning I don't always think about that. But when somebody dies and we don't know for sure if they are saved or if their life is clear, we know that they were in the hands of a just God. Verse 6, it says, the Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his way unto Moses and his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. David was thankful for the character of God. I'm thankful for the character of God this morning. He is a just God, and we can rest in that. It says here that he will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. Blessing the Lord, being mindful of what he's done for us. His mercy in verse 11, it says, for as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. Maybe the school children or the teachers can tell us how far is the heavens, or how far have they made it in space? Isn't it like 58 million light years or something? Is that right? Somewhere in there, an unimaginable amount of distance. And it says, the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. Have I thanked God for the blessing of his mercy this week? Have I named it one by one? I'm sorry, 15, I had it wrote down, 15 billion light years. And that's scientific numbers, I don't understand all of that. But a vast amount was the word picture he was trying to give us. His mercy is enduring from everlasting to everlasting, down in verse number 17. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. The Hebrew word for everlasting is alon, or it means a vanishing point. Or in other words, it's not reachable. Everlasting to everlasting. Have you thanked God for his mercy this week? How far has he put away your transgression? It says as far as from the east is from the west. And the other Sunday, we were studying in our instruction class about the assurance of salvation. And as you ponder your life and your heart and where you're at with God, just know that if you have come before God and you've confessed your sins to God in honest, open repentance, he has removed them as far as the east is from the west. And I praise him for that. So why is God merciful to us? Why do we have this psalm here that brings us so much hope and courage? Let's look at verse 13. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. And then he says, he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. And I'm not going to sit here this morning and declare that you're human, so just live like you want to. I don't think that's what the psalmist is saying. But I want you to know this morning that God knows that we are mortal man. We are just dust. He knoweth our frame. It says he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. God knows the shoes you're walking in this morning. He can feel it. He knows it. He remembereth. He remembereth that we are dust. That just breathed life into me this morning as I thought about that again. He knows how fragile we really are. He knows our life could change any minute. He knows who's going to die, who's not going to die, who's going to get sick. He knows. He remembers. Verses 20 through 22, David is encouraging us to take up the challenge of counting our blessings. He talks about the angels here in verse 20. It says, bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. I think he's talking about a group of people that's not you and I this morning. But then he goes on to verse 21 and says, bless ye the Lord, all ye his host, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. And that, I believe, is a group of born-again people that's here this morning. David is asking you and I to bless the Lord. Bless him. Remember what he has done. Remember that the ministry you are called to and involved in is for him. I wanted to read Psalm 104, but we don't have time. Let's just pick a couple verses out of it. Psalm 104 in verse 1, it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." And then it says, "O Lord my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty." And now just take the time to read through Psalm 104 sometime. It's so encouraging to see what all God does for you and I every day. He sendeth the springs into the valleys which run among the hills, the water of the earth. He watereth the hills from his chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of thy works. This morning, Dad and I was out in his front yard and we was picking blueberries off of his blueberry bushes. And I told Dad, if we had 100 blueberry bushes, we could just eat all we have and Ethan's would know what we're talking about. But the Lord, God made that blueberry bush grow. He satisfieth with the fruit of thy works. He causeth the grass to grow for the cattle, an herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth. Truman has cows. Ethan has cows. Different ones of our church has animals. And it says that God causeth the grass to grow for the cattle, the herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth. The trees of the Lord are full of sap. When was the last time you had pancakes and maple syrup? You know, think about the blessings that God has given us. Do we name them one by one? Where the birds make their nest, the fir trees are her house, the high hills are a refuge. All about nature that God has done that we can witness. He appointeth the moon for seasons. The sun knoweth his going down. The sun and the moon don't argue about who's going up and who's going down. There's a plan. The young lions roar after their prey. We could just go on and on in this, but I want to end in verse 33. I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. My meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. And I hope that's your testimony this morning as you think about the blessings that we enjoy. All right, a few verses in 2 Corinthians. This is a blessing that we often miss. A blessing that we don't even want to have. And that is a blessing of affliction. 2 Corinthians 4. I believe we can find it in Psalm 103, but this scripture here in 2 Corinthians just was so encouraging to me. 2 Corinthians 4, starting in verse 15. "For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Sometimes it is very, very difficult to name the blessings one by one that come out of affliction. And I think that's probably normal. But as we look at our life in light of eternity, in verse 17, "worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." The songwriter says it so well. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Job 23 and verse 10. "But he knoweth the way I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold, as pure gold." When he tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Free from dross. It means that God is going to approve of my conduct, of my ways, are going to please him after he tries me. Someone has said, "It's like gold. I will lose nothing in the fire. I shall come out more pure." Is that a blessing of affliction? Psalm 119 and verse 67, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept thy word. Affliction in the arms and in the hands of God is a blessing according to the word of God. May we never run from affliction, but allow it to make us who God wants us to be. Paul had a message for us that I want to share here in closing. Acts chapter 17. Again, encouragement to me as I consider life, the ups and downs, the questions. Acts 17, let's pick up here in verse 24. Maybe just a regroup here a little bit. Acts 17 and verse 24. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that He is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though He needeth anything, seeing He giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after Him and find Him, though He be not far from every one of us. For in Him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also His offspring. As you consider your life, it says, for in Him we live and move and have our being. So let's get that pencil out. Let's get that piece of paper. Let's write down our blessings. Let's name them one by one and see what the Lord has done. Psalm 116, 12. What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me? A question that comes to my mind this morning is, what can you and I do as we think about naming our blessings and how many of them there are? Just a couple words of encouragement. Be a blessing to every person you meet. Be thankful. Deuteronomy 8:10, when thou hast eaten and art full, then shalt thou bless the Lord thy God for the good land which He giveth thee. Psalm 100, verse 4, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Be content. Another guarantee that we have found the Lord's blessings to be true is our contentment. Philippians 4:11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. 1 Timothy 6:6, but godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. As we name our blessings, as we contemplate our life, as we try to understand the complexities or the questions that we may have, let's be content. Let's understand that what God has allowed may be for our good. And let's think about the blessings that God so abundantly showered upon us. One of the phrases in this hymn we read this morning, count your many blessings, money cannot buy. You know, as a Christian, we are some of the few people on the face of the earth that have blessings that money cannot buy. And I guess this morning a blessing that I have, that I want to share, is the blessings of relationship, the blessings of a church family. Two times this week, we gathered together as a church and helped a church member, a church family. We gathered at Sammy's and loaded their truck. Ladies made food. Men come and helped. Yesterday we gathered at Hilton's mom's house and we worked together. That is a blessing that money cannot buy. And there's many people in this world that don't know what relationships are. And I thank God to be a part of a church that values relationship. And I also want to be as David, and I want to pursue this thing of understanding and realizing how blessed I am as I think about the things in life that I wish could be different or better. So let's pray for each other, because we definitely are very, very blessed people. Let us kneel before the Lord this morning. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your many blessings, Lord. And we often start our prayers out thanking you for what you've done for us. Lord, help it never become a habit, but help it to come from the heart, come from the experience of knowing what it means to be blessed, and what it means to have undeserved health, undeserved houses, vehicles, food. Lord, we thank you for the gifts of life that we so often take for granted. And Lord, this morning as we think about our church family and relationships and love and community and support, we thank you for that. And Lord, it's something money cannot buy. And Lord, this morning I pray for each one that is gathered in this building. Lord, you know our hearts. You know our needs. You know our afflictions. You know our health. You know what we may be called to face this upcoming week. Bless us with your Spirit this week. Help us to be faithful come what may. And Lord, help us to take the time to name our blessings and to write them down one by one. Thank you for what you've done for us. Thank you for your holy word. Thank you that we can study it. In Jesus' name, amen.